But he told Teresa one time, he said, I'm not hard and harsh. And you know, and I mean, she's just blunt. She just, we've always been that way. Me and her both, I mean, you know, pretty much back under, we thought what we thought and said what we said and said it the way we wanted to say it and meant what we said. And you come over into the kingdom of God and God wants us to express His language, express His spirit behind, express His tone when we speak. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come and take upon you my yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. He said, learn of me. Learn how I am. He said, I'm meek and lowly. He's gentle. He's meek. He's lowly. And we've got Him. It's not that we're trying to get Him. We got Him on the inside if we're born again. He says, and then you will find rest. There's a rest in that meekness. And there's a rest in that gentleness. But God began to speak to me about working out salvation. Well, I'm out praying for the service here after I got here. And all of a sudden, Samson came up in my spirit, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, Samson. You know, and the Lord, he said, when you work out the salvation that's come on the inside of you, he said, it builds strength against the enemy. He said, it's not my enemy. He said, it's your enemy. You know, Satan's been defeated. God defeated him through Jesus, defeated him. Now he's the god of this world, and the Bible calls him the god of this world. But the Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not like it. We don't function the way that it does. But I thought about Samson. I could see Samson. I read the story before, you know, way back down yonder, heard sermons over the years about Samson. And Samson's covenant was his hair with God. That was where his strength was. His covenant. And ours is through Jesus, right? But you know what? Samson kept messing around, you know, until Delilah found out his strength. See, they would try to tie him up and he'd break loose. Why? He's in the power. Satan couldn't bind him. I thought about a truck. Travis, he didn't like to drive this truck that I had. Now, everything I've got, most has got lights on in the dash. 03, 4, 8, 12 sensor. You know, when I walked out this morning, I started Teresa's little truck up and it had some kind of little rattling. And so I just says, So I opened the hood and I looked, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't see nothing rattling. And I thought, you are going to be blessed. So I rolled the window down a little because it's been going a little haywire. The truck, go down the road, lock, unlock, unlock, lock, lock, unlock, unlock, light on, light off. So I go out this morning, crank it up to warm it up, roll the window down just a little bit where it wouldn't lock me out, right? So Teresa, she says, gets in there, she said, what's my window doing down? And I told her the story. And so she said, well, I need somebody to get on it. And I told her, I said, just drive it. Listen to me. Just drive it. What if it quits? What if it don't? Had a truck one time, this is one of many. Everything that I drive commands, does what I command it to do. You're a Christian. Work out the salvation. What you talking about? You done born again, right? So why would he say work out the salvation that has been given you? Okay. So I get this truck and the fuel pump. I had to get on there and hit it. Crank it up and go. It did that a few times with me and I got out and I laid my hands on that truck and I said, you belong to me now. I said, you are not going to be a curse to me. You are not going to get in the way of the will of God for me. Going to work, going to church, going to work out the salvation. That means taking authority over anything, sickness and disease in your life. Hallelujah. Reports from the doctor in your life. See, Samson kept messing around with Delilah. You keep messing around with excuses and fear and all of that. And I'm telling you, Samson came to the place to where they tied him up and he could not break free. He was put into slavery. They put his eyes out. That's vision. His strength was gone. That's the power of God in your life. That's the power of the anointing and the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. And so I laid my hands. I never put a fuel pump in that truck. I did not. Travis wanted to go and use it. I said, yeah, just hold on out. I said, just keep your faith on it. Don't talk about it. Get in it. Drive it. See, what have we got to today in the church that we're so used to doing and taking care of ourselves that we're not leaning on God? We cannot turn our face from God. The Bible, she just read it. It says, now, you know, I believe God is fixing to do mighty, mighty things in this earth. The earth is filled with the glory of God, whether you see it or you don't. CNN ain't putting it out. Fox ain't putting it out. 13 ain't putting it out. You know, my radio somewhat, if I got it on the right channel, puts a little bit of it out. But I'm telling you, you look around and you begin to hear the testimonies of what God is doing for those that are putting forth their faith and moving forward and marching. Those that are sitting back like Samson and just, it don't really matter. It don't really matter how I think. It don't really matter. It don't matter if I miss church. I'm not just talking to you here. We all faithful. But you know what? I've always been fired up about church. I was telling Teresa yesterday, I mean, I would quit my job to go to church. I qualify to preach it. By gollies, I've been down there where the ox is in the hole and I shoot it. But God, my car tore up and I borrowed one. I'm going to church. I'm going. What was that? That was my commitment to God. And then God committed to take care of me because of my commitment to God. And I'm not going to fight 30 years and then get down here and then people don't want to go to church here. I'm preaching to preachers and pastors. You know, don't you get disheartened. Don't you give in to Delilah spirit. Don't you give in because people are not hot after God and that like they used to be, and you see them letting down and throwing the sword down and making excuses. Don't you get discouraged with them. You keep preaching that word because that word will go out and do what God puts it in. But if you quit, pastor, if you quit, evangelist, if you quit, prophet, because of what it's looking like, and the people, see, the people are going to stand before God one day, and they're going to give an account of those times that they could have asked me, Lord, to help me to speak in love. Instead of just saying, I don't care, the truth is the truth. No, the truth is to be spoke out of a right spirit. Teresa was having a hard time because she's trying to run the world. She's trying to be in control of everything. I mean, she's so possessed with mowing the yard at one time. She mowed the yard and looked and thought, I need to mow it again. I don't know if it was the same day or the next day. And God told her, said, the yard's fine. See, what was she doing? Something was taking her attention away from the time that she would probably spend with God. So she began to back off on it. I own my own company, and I sub two different companies, and they buy from the same doors that I buy, and so I'm familiar with all of those folks up there, you know, all the way to I've got all the numbers all the way to the engineers, you know, and so. They start messing up stuff at this one, and it's costing me. Stuff at that one, and it's costing me. And I go to, now I go to, I'm like, man, they don't even know how to fix all of this. So I go to taking care of it, Johnny. I go to call them when it's wrong there. Go to call them when it's wrong there. And I'm running three companies. And I'm getting, I mean, it's frustrating me. I'm getting upset, you know, and all of that stuff. And all of a sudden, God said, stop running their business. I'm not anointed for that. I'm not anointed to fix that. That's none of my business, right? But it looks like in the natural, I'm helping them. And I mean, it'll be easier and you know, and all of that. And I backed off and I said, none of my business. And Travis, well, you know, and I said, I'm not running their business no more. I'm not running his business no more. I'm not running that business no more. I'm going to run my own business. I'm going to take care of me because all of these things are trying to pull me away from my commitment here. See, don't let nothing pull you away from your commitment. If you was in love with Jesus when you got saved and you're less in love with Him today, something has got getting your commitment. Something's stealing your strength. Something's distracting you. Something, because we're supposed to be getting more and more dead set to do the will of God as we grow and develop in the Lord. So don't let, it might not be a woman or a man, you know. I'm gonna get into some stuff because God, I mean, it was shocking to me what she preached on, you know. And I'm like, man, I'm going down them same lines this morning. We don't talk about it. We both endeavor to hear from the Lord, and we both endeavor to keep our mind off of y'all and hear from the Lord and bring thus saith the Lord. Because thus saith the Lord, when a word comes, just like when Peter was on the boat and he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. When that word came, there was enough power for him to walk on the water in that word. When God said, when a word comes and I see something in my life that I need to be changed, that's the same thing as him speaking to Peter. Now when I endeavor to do it, she did it, which I knew it. I'm like, man, she's gonna have to pass these tests, you know. And I'm like, I'm in danger riding with her. These people just get crazy around her. I mean, I thought, it's a good thing I've got angels. This stuff is really happening. You know why? I can tell you why, and she knows why, and she started changing. Because she's complaining about them. She's complaining about the traffic, complaining about how they drive. And she would say it, and I would be like, we know, we're out here too. We drive every day. You know? Well, she decided, I'm going to stop complaining because I can't change the way they drive. I can't make people straighten up, even though I'm, what do you mean? Are you crazy? That don't change nothing. They'll just look back at you and say, what are you, a cracker? Lollipop? You're a Fruit Loop. This is my highway too. I used to think, I'll drive on both sides because I pay taxes. Both sides of them road belong to me, going and coming. I paid on a bunch of them. You have too. You may pay gas taxes and oil taxes every time you buy fuel. You've been paid. We paid for this Blount County road to be done. Although we paid for it, and then it started happening, and some of us griped about it. Stupid workers, they stopping me up, holding me up. Well, you paid them to do it. Stop buying gas. They're keeping our roads up. See, why? I mean, we make it funny, you know, but God is sitting there in there with you. I'm with you always, right? He's sitting there, and He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. He knows your impatience. He knows that you think you're the only one that's got it together, and you're jacked up from the floor up. But He can't dump a dump truck on you right quick because He don't want to destroy you. So He brings a little here, a little there, and all of that. You know, I thought I was pretty fixed up after I got saved till I got in church. And then all of these people, man, I felt like I can't attain all of that. They just, and then little by little, God began to say, I want you to be like Him. I want you to act like Him. I want you to be like Brad. I told God one time, I said, God, because I saw such a laid-back man, faithful. He was faithful to that church. worked a full-time job and was faithful. I saw a man that you couldn't get mad. I've never seen Pastor Brad mad. I've never seen him mad. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but I've never seen him mad. I've seen him come in and speak and slap me in the face like Samantha says. See, we got our own way of talking, see. I was doing good till I got busted in the face with a word. But I'm like, that's a little deep. I would say that word come and it convicted me. But it means the same thing, Johnny. God sent her a word. God tell her, look, go back to what you was doing. Return back to your first love. I mean, it didn't matter if your feet got cut. I'm talking for her right now. She's back there, and that's fine. She can pay me and get a tape and give me an offering, and I'll let her hear the good stuff. You know, it didn't matter if it was snowing, if it was raining. It didn't matter. I was just desperate, God. I've been in this lifestyle, and you've come saved me, and you come delivered me, Lord. And you mean everything to me because I know you love me. Ain't that all of our hearts should be crying that? And then we don't need to get up here when he begins to bless us and give us our nice stuff and give us all our finances and daily loads us up and we got a little put back and we don't need to lose that fire for our God. Amen. Don't forget him. You know, I'm not saying we are, but we're always in danger of doing that. We're always on the edge of things getting in our way and that we think we can't change. We're not supposed to change it. We're supposed to believe God, and God moves mountains. I couldn't go down there. I was only kidding, Teresa, when I said, you know, God changed the speed limit this morning. No, God changed me. Come, help me be calm, God. Help me be the warrior that you, that I know that I've been. See, we're here at this church, we are not ignorant of the Word of God. We know that we're kings and priests unto God. We know that if we give, it'll be given. We know that God, we done seen him come through and get our houses. I believed him for 10 years and I would not quit but God. And I sowed seeds and I believed God. And I mean everything would fall through and I would have an opportunity to get discouraged. And I'd be like, nope, I'm not going to gripe about the plan of God. God, when it's your time, that door will open up, God. But I'm going to wait on it till I get it. And I'm living in it right now debt free. I own everything that I got that God give me. But you know what? I've had opportunities to quit going. I did quit going. One time I quit going to church. I'm talking about since I was pastor. I got discouraged because people wouldn't be faithful because I'm trying to build a praise team. Right? I'm trying to build the children. I'm trying to train them up in the way they should go. Trying to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, going into all the world like the scripture says, and people just seem to not care. And so I got discouraged, and Teresa, I said, I'm not going to church. Oh God, this is bad. I said, I don't care. I said, they don't come when they don't want to. I said, so what's the difference? They can't say nothing to me. They do the same thing. See, if I work for you, Johnny, you need me to be on my best. You need me. I mean, you need me. And that's the way God is with us. He needs us to be faithful. He needs us to fight. He needs us to fight. I told Travis, I said, get in there. I said, keep your faith on my truck. I said, and it won't quit on you. Just drive it. The blessing's on it. It has to obey me. See, now you might disagree with that, but does the Bible tell you whatever you say to that mountain, does he say it or not? He says it, right? Jesus said, if I speak to that mountain, it has to move from this place to the other. Now you, me, and all us Christians that's listening all over the world, we got to rise up and we got to come against these things that are trying to, and it's not just the devil. Our flesh is the most problem that we're going to have. This flesh. I got up this morning, cooked us some breakfast, and I thought, oh man, God, you ain't giving me the sermon like I wanted, Lord. Now I can't take my 30 minute nap before church. And God, I'm gonna be sleepy at Sunday school, and I'm gonna have to get up there, and you don't know what it takes out of you under the anointing. At times, you're ready to go rest, and people's like, it's only 12:30. What do you mean rest? Because you ain't been doing nothing spiritually. You know? And I'm thinking, oh, I like to be fresh. And I thought, I got to lean on Him when I'm not strong, when I need a friend. I'd lean on Johnny, but I'd rather lean on Him. Period. When I lean on the Lord, He moves mountains. When I lean on the Lord, He brings my vehicles. When I lean on the Lord, He supplies my doors. When I lean on the Lord, He supplies my strength. See, Samson lost his because he quit leaning. Oh, he let down his covenant, let down his faith. We can do it. And then we start to get miserable on inside. Then the things of God don't mean what they used to mean. The fight is not there to fight for the things of God, because we're not working that. We're not letting that. The Bible says that it's Him that works in us both to will and to do, but we got to let Him pour it in us. And how we do that, you know, my pastor, he told one time, I don't know if you ought to quit your job. I mean, I said, when it comes between my job and God, I said, it's gone. I said, I'm not looking for a reason to quit. I always quit. I said, I won't have to. I said, because God will show up. But I got to prove to God that you are first, not last. You're first, because He can give me a better job than that. He can give me a better place to be than that. You know? And so, Samson lost his strength, and he was put, and his strength did come back. But you know what? His eyes were put out. I mean, they put him to forced labor. That's your vision. The first thing that'll go is your vision. You used to want to do for God. You used to be fired up for God. You would believe and believe God no matter what. Hallelujah. And God would show up. See, the good thing about it, when we do that, God's power is there, ready, available. I mean, and it comes, hallelujah. Salvation, used to, you'd say something, I would say something to people, and they'd say, well, you know, the Bible says work out your own salvation. Don't judge me. And so I went in there and I found that scripture and I studied that scripture. I seen in context what it meant and all of that stuff. And then I changed the way I would say to them. I'd say, that don't mean that, what you're saying. That don't mean that. You've heard it. You've misread it. You're misquoting it. That means if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, then you belong to Him. You was bought by the blood. That means that He paid that price and you wanted that life. You wanted deliverance. And you told Him by your submission to Him that I belong to you, God. And God, I want your will and not mine. I said that what that means that you are quoting is the salvation that has come on the inside of you. Let it work outside of you. Let it work out of you. That means faithfulness. Temperance. Self-control, love, joy. I was telling somebody that was talking about them cows. Now, them cows, they'll get on your nerves sometimes, especially when you pastor a church and you got your own business and you're busy in it, and then you got to go after work, and your tractors are down, you know, and broke down, and you really, there ain't no way I can go roll a 1,000-pound roll of hay out of the barn. And so I'm like, God, what do I do? He said, use that one. I get that one over there and it quits on me. And I'm like, man, I'll borrow a tractor. And this is what I thought. I thought Proverbs says that a right man takes care of his animals. And so I said, God, you're going to have to help me. I need your help, praise God. I need you to help me with that other tractor. And I got that other tractor together, and it's a lot smaller, but I got it done yesterday. Why I'm telling you that is I wasn't quitting. And I told Teresa, I said, I think this spring I'm going to sell them cows, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, but I got to go upstairs first. I got to go ask God first, right? Proverbs 3, well, don't get up here where I got money and, you know, and now I got cows and I got some tractors and my tractors are coming together and all of that stuff, and then quit acknowledging God, because that's how I got where I'm at, right? I got where I'm at by acknowledging God. See, if we're not careful, we will become, well, you know, I mean, when it comes to ministry, if you're called into the ministry, reach for excellence. Reach for it. I heard it right back there on that, I was down here working back under, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years after I started, you know, and I thought, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to listen to some preaching today. That's what I'm going to do while I'm working. So I put this series in that Kenneth Copeland was preaching, and he says reach for excellence. He said reach for excellence. Excellence in ministry. Want to be the best. Want to be effective and all of that. He said and if you want to know the heart of God, He said, if you want the heart of God, he said, set out to meet the needs of people. He said, because it's all about people. He said, it's not about you. It's not about me. He said, it wasn't even about Jesus. He said, and it makes sense. For God so loved the world, he sent Jesus, right? He was fine, him and Jesus. And so I thought, man, that's putting pressure on me there now. You know, reach for excellence. My goodness, I got to be long-suffering. I got to be flexible, you know, and all of that. And I begin to utilize that. I begin to say, God, I want to be like my pastor. The Bible says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. He got an anointing. Wherever he goes, you know. And God said, okay. He said, if you'll be like him, I'll do like that for you. All he was being like Jesus. Give me that scripture, 1 Peter 1, Beth, please. Hallelujah. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, but grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus. This is not what I want. I wrote it down wrong. That's not what I want. Is that 1 Peter 2? 1 Peter 1? Okay, that's not it. What it says is that by his divine nature, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through our Lord Jesus. It says by that divine nature, and what that meant to me this morning, there was some more in there, but I forgot. I wrote it down wrong or something. I thought, God, ever since I got born again, when I'm pressing forward and fighting the good fight of faith and standing against, and I broke poverty. I broke the back of poverty before I had anything through that divine power that's been given us. All things he's given us by his divine nature. That nature means I've got to be letting Jesus flow in through me. I've got to be letting him operate in my spirit, in my heart, and then my actions begin to walk it out, and then we're Jesus is walking that out on this planet through you and through me. Hallelujah. But I thought all that time, God, when I went to church and didn't have enough money, and I thought somehow God will take care of me. Somebody will give me gas money or something, you know. And they didn't give me gas money and run out of gas and spoke to my situation. And y'all know the story, and went on and sat there in a miracle. We sat there in a miracle. And I thought to myself the next day, I couldn't hardly go to sleep. I had to be up at 5 in the morning. I had to be at work at 5 in the morning, but I'm laying there and I can't go to sleep, and I'm thinking, man, I thought, I know why I can't go to sleep. I'm not sleepy. I'm not tired. I've been in His grace. I've been in His presence. I'm in His presence right now thinking about this glory that just happened to me. And the next day I thought, glory to God, there ain't nothing going to get in the way of the will of God. You know, but you know what? If I hadn't went to church, I would not have experienced that miracle working power. And people have told me, well, I get sick of church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, nah, you might be the one you're talking about. The rest of us are not. We're not pretending. We ain't perfect. We're under construction. You can't look at that and judge nothing, because I was backslid doing meth one night. And had a visitation of God the next day, and a pastor walked up on my porch the next day after doing meth, the next day after it, and told me, God said to tell you to come preach tomorrow night. And I'm like, I can't tell him. I can't tell him. That my neighbor down there caught wind of, I ain't gonna hurry to smoke. He just smoking meth day before yesterday. Blah, 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 you know. And I thought, oh, well, whatever you want to think. I don't care. I got forgiveness from God, and I was forgiven right then. Right? When you ask God to forgive you, He don't hold it against you for 6 months to teach you a lesson. But you got to get up in your heart and throw those thoughts out of your mind, and God made them go. And that night, the glory of God fell in that church, and people was running out and running around screaming around the building. I'm like, glory to God. I know this is not me. This is God. And then I've never did that again, because I realized that I was out of God's glory. I was out of God's power that had been keeping me from all of that stuff. Why? Because little by little, I hadn't been reading my Bible. I hadn't been fasting. I hadn't been taking in and meditating on the Word like I used to. I'd let down on going to church and had my excuses. I understand all of it. I'm, you know, tired, whatever the case might be. I had people come over trying to on church nights, trying to get us to visit, coming down from other states, and I would tell them, bring your clothes. Nothing is going to get in the way of me going to church. I go to church 3 times a week, and that's not enough like it is. And I'm not going to miss nothing. Now, some people say that's a dying art. I say that's a lie. This Bible's not a dying word. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some are. That word don't lose its power. And if I choose to do that, be a doer of that, then all the power that I need is available to do that, to walk that out. If he has to send a taxi out of Birmingham to get me a ride because I refuse, I'll walk if I have to, I'll borrow if I have to. I'll do whatever I have to do. See, I heard the patriarchs, Johnny, that God told them, I want you to move to Fort Worth, Texas, whatever the name of that place is. And they didn't even have the money for their kids to eat lunch that day. Get in their car, going on a journey that they didn't even know really what they were going to do. And the kids ask him, Dad, when are we going to eat? And he said, not long from now. And go about a mile down the road, and a $20 bill blows over the road on the fence. And he said, kids, it's time to eat. God has supplied. He pulls over, gets his $20. Now, what if he'd have said, I can't do it. I got a full-time job. I can't. The Bible says I heard that from that patriarch. And I thought, glory to God, if he'll do it for that man was nobody and nothing. Today, his ministry is called Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Kenneth Hagin was on his deathbed. I believe he was 15 or 16 years old. He had an incurable heart disease, heart failure, all kinds of stuff. Whatever he had, it had crippled him, paralyzed his body and all that. He couldn't get out of the bed. He was bedridden. And I'm a young Christian, and God is getting these things in my ear like he's done you. You hear me? He's getting this in my ear. And I'm thinking, God, these people, man. Whew, man. Then I'd be like, well, the Bible says the Word's living. Well, he's there, and he turns over, and people say that Kenneth Hagin must have wrote Mark 11. But boy, he got revelation out of Mark 11. He come out of that bed, laying there in the bed one morning about 10 o'clock after he told the Lord, he said, I believe I received my healing for my body, you know, for my heart, for my this and this. He said, and just in case I missed anything, I thank you, I receive it from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. So he's still laying in the bed, I think it was the next day or so, and laying there at 10, and the Lord told him, heal people's up this time of the day. He's paralyzed. So he gets hold to the bedpost. He throws his legs and they fall down like clumps of firewood. He falls down he's fixing to pull himself up, and all of a sudden he felt warmth poured down into his body, down into his legs. His legs begin to tingle and sting, and praise God. And then he was up, and his worldwide ministry. He's dead and gone right now. But the campus and all of that the Lord used that man that wasn't able to do nothing. But the power of God raised him up. And I thought, glory to God, they can't nothing kill me. I mean, God poured it out down through his head. Hallelujah. But you know what? He had to get out of that bed. I had to fight for my right to go to church. I had to fight for my marriage. Black God, I still had to fight for it today. Sometimes it would just be easier in the fight. Me and Teresa don't fight. But we wrestle against principalities and powers, pressures of this world, money. You know, we got to make sure that we take care of ourselves. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Lord brought this up to me this morning. Give me that next one, Beth. About honoring your father and mother. He brought that up to me this morning. He says, honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long. Reckon they can be shortened if we don't? You reckon that word's real or not? Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord told me this morning, he said, some are weak because they won't hearken to me. They're getting weaker spiritually. So if you're we're all over the world, you know. I don't have that opportunity now. I didn't honor my dad, but I honored my mom. Now my mom at times wasn't honorable. Cuss you out, had her little ways and her little tantrums and, you know, and get mad and call me a false prophet and blah, blah, blah. Honor means to for them to be precious to you. Precious. Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, without your mother and father, you would not be on this planet. He said, they gave you life. They gave you life. I said, I know, Lord, I know, Lord. I said, but my mom got on my nerves. You know? He said, but you did it. He said, you chose to honor me. And I honored you with my power. I honored you with the ability. It says for them to be precious to us. And for us to help them. Be gentle with them. Be kind to them. And take care of them. I studied it. See, I don't know what it means in its fullness. I know what I did. I didn't even know that. But I did it. Because I didn't go study it out. I just had my own idea back there. But I did. I was gentle with my mama. My mama wasn't in control of nothing, and I put her in control of everything in her mind. My mama was an independent woman, and she felt like if anybody don't do anything that I say, I'm calling Scotty. He is my guardian. That's what she called me. I wasn't. She convinced everybody. You know why? Because she trusts me. I gained that honor from her. She trusts me. She trusts Teresa with every dime she had, with anything. She loved her like she was her own daughter. And I believe in big part because I set out to honor her and honor God by honoring her. I remember when she made decisions, you know, and put her land in my name, wanted me to go down, and I told her, I stopped her and I said, "Do you know what you're doing?" I said, "I want to know, do you know what, Mom, you are doing?" I said, "That means you'll never borrow any money on it. I'll never borrow any money on it. I'll never get rid of it." I said, "That means a lot. Nobody's borrowing no money ever on it. I know what I'm doing." I said, "Okay." So we go on. She puts it all in my name, all of it, everything, even her burial policies and all that stuff. And come a time when somebody needed her to help them, and she had to put some land up to get it done. And so she comes to me, and she said, "I need you to put that part." I said, "Not going to happen." Now I'm honoring Mom. Right? It was clear to her, "Do you know what you're doing?" Right? Wasn't no nothing there. And so now things has changed. But now I believe that God has got me where nobody gonna ever cause you to lose your place ever again. And so anyways, I mean, she opened the window I'm telling you this for a reason. See, it don't say honor them if you like them. Honor them if they do like you like. Honor them if they talk like you want them to talk. Honor them if they should be. They can be all backwards living a life to where they don't deserve no honor, but that has nothing to do with me and you. Right? If we want long life, if we want our days to be good, well, she opens the window every morning, sets her clock probably. She opens her window every morning because she's mad at me now. And she calls me a false prophet every morning. Every morning. You a false prophet. That's all you are. You're a false preacher. You're a false... Nobody would do their parents like that. And I would leave out and I would be torn. Not in my spirit, but in my flesh and my emotions. I would be torn. I would be like, "What? Man, what would it matter? What would it matter?" And then I thought, I know what it would matter. I done went and paid off one of her debts after her dad died. She had just mortgaged it up, and then them people wouldn't make the payments, and then I would have to pay it again or let her lose her place because she didn't have the money to do nothing. Didn't have no money till I got her to honoring God tithing. Then she left out of here pretty well off, you know. But you know what? I thought, nope. Glory to God. I know what you're doing, devil. You're trying to get me to give in. I know what the will of God is. I'm going to honor her. I'm going to take care of her. I didn't even know that scripture means take care of them. I never screamed at my mama again. Come on, somebody, y'all getting quiet on me. I never screamed at my mama again. I never back-mouthed my mama again. Even though I'm a grown married man with a kid, I'm going to honor God. That I set out to honor God. It was not easy. It was a challenge. But the more that I did it, the more the grace of God came on me. I started enjoying honoring her. And then before you know it, it opened the door and I would go down and she would be complaining about somebody did this and somebody did that and blah, 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 you know. And I sat down, and though this day she was complaining, she said, "They don't nobody ever come and see me." My kids just don't come see me anymore. I said, well, Mom, I said, they're tired of hearing you complain. I said, when they come, all you do is complain. Y'all don't never come see me anymore. I said, you spend the whole time complaining about they don't come see you no more. I said, so Mom, that's somewhat your fault. I said, be glad when they get here. When they do come see you, just thank God that they're here to see you. Feed them like you do me. I mean, the moment I walk in the door, go in there and plenty to eat in the refrigerator. I mean, she won't let everybody do that. But you know what? I got the grace of God. See, God don't want you dishonoring Him by dishonoring your mother and father. You dishonor them, you dishonor God. And dishonor God don't get you no favor. It don't get you no favor. No, sir. The humble get the grace. See, I mean, I've told God all kinds of excuses why I didn't need to honor them. And I couldn't hardly preach when they were mean to their kids for you to honor them because your mind is working, see. But God, and then this morning God told me, he said, some, I don't believe it's anybody here, we know better than this. He said, some, they complain about their kids. They complain about their father. They complain about their mother. They complain about their job. They complain about Alabama Power. I thought Alabama Power, and he said, no, power company. Well, I guess everybody ain't on Alabama Power. So if somebody's complaining, and I said that, and they're on some other power company, they're just excluded. They can keep on complaining because God didn't say that. No, power company. He said they complain about the water company. He said they complain about their neighbors and how they do and how they live. He said they complain. He said, I'm talking about my sons and daughters. He said, and you're going to be my voice this morning because some are doing it, not really realizing they're doing it, and they're stripping themselves of the power of God. They're stripping themselves of peace and joy and faith and endurance. He said, they're stripping themselves. He said, they complain about their school. I want to complain about Aubrey. She made a bad grade. I mean, this stuff, it's mind-boggling, that math stuff. I hope Trump turns that around and shoots that out like a duck shot out of the water, man. 2 + 2 = 4. 100 times 100 is whatever it is. You know, but it takes a whole page to get to that. The same answer, man. I mean, you know, and all that. But what I'm saying is, Aubrey, she's upset. She's made bad. And I didn't go to down in the school. I didn't go to complaining. I said, well, baby, I said, all that tells you is that bad grade is you can do better. I said, a bad grade, all that means is you can do better. Because if she made a straight A, she wouldn't need to do no better, right? So I told her, I said, all that is, I said, and the Lord's going to help you. Why? I'm not going to build a complainer. I'm not going to teach my, your whoever's in your presence, you're teaching them to complain. Teaching them some. I mean, this guy come to work with me one time and he, everywhere he'd worked, his bosses just hollered at him. See, in the scripture that I had, it even talks about us people that work people. It talks about us that work for people, not to complain. And it talks about me, don't complain, about my workers. I hired them. What does that tell you about me? Right? Well, you know, They complain, and the Lord, you know, the Lord don't want us complaining. They complain about their job. Well, God give it to you, right? So you're complaining about God, right? Come on, somebody. Now, he knew in there that you're going to have to change. Come on, somebody. He knew in there that you're going to have to get rid of that attitude. He knew, and he gave you the perfect job. He gave you the one that is able to do all that. He gave you the one. He didn't give you the one that's not going to go feather out of your nest. it's getting uncomfortable here. He gave me the perfect job. Somebody asked me one time, he said, you can't tell me that you don't want out of all this hustle and bustle and just believe God and God, you know, in ministry and get out of all of this. And at that time, that job was helping me to become not a liar. I was a liar when I got saved. Look, and I still lied after I got saved now, really, when I got under pressure. I'm just being honest, just being truthful with you. And I would lie. I would tell them, yeah, we'll be there knowing good and well I got the book laid out here. But I was afraid that I would lose it, so I lied. Then I would be like, well, I'll call them right before and tell them I'm going to have to change it. How many knows that's a liar? And so I told them, I said, no. I said, no, sir. I said, I do not want out of the will of God right now. I said, this is helping me to become a non-liar. I said, if I quit now, I'm still going to be a liar. I said, because God's got me in a process here. He's working on me with this. I said, so no, this hardship is good for me. This pressure is good. And I prepared my mind, Johnny, for action back down yonder. That's been nearly 30 years. I was a baby Christian. And I thought, man, I don't know if this is going to crush me. And then I'd hear somebody whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You know, and then when he gets done with that, he prunes you. And I'm like, oh my God, I know what that pruning is. These bushes and stuff, you know, we prune. That's cutting things off and all of that, you know. And then it says that you bear more fruit. And I just done a sermon here a while back. More fruit, more freedom. Less fruit, less freedom. Right? And bearing fruit is not really we do it. It's we make a choice towards God. I'm going to honor my mother and father, God. And don't say, even if it kills me, that's dumb. But it will kill you. Just going to kill that flesh man. So you might be able to just say, even if it kills me, just kill me in it, God. Yeah, just go ahead and tell him. That'd be all right. You know? Because you've got a destiny here and he's not going to take you for his time. Right? You're going to live long on the light, on this. Stop complaining about your kids. You had them. Right? Well, they're getting on my nerves. Stop complaining and they won't. You're in a test. My husband getting on my everlasting. You're complaining. Stop complaining and he'll change. But he won't have to because you will. Because the dissatisfaction is in you. Paul says, I learned how to be content where I'm at. I learned how to. He said, I learned how, you know. And so God don't want you complaining about your job, complaining about where you live, your yard. Don't want me complaining about the cows I believed him for, right? And then come up with ideas and then it costs me more trouble. Don't complain about them. Go over there and praise God, I got them. Go over there and praise God, I got tractors to fix. Go over there and praise God, I got the money to fix them if I need to. Go over there and praise him. Just do something to praise him. Bought my water meter. Going to go over there and put my water lines. I'm having to pump water out of a pond. I let the thing freeze up, Johnny, you know, and all of that good stuff. And then I had to put it out in the sun and come back later when it thawed out my pump and all of that, you know. And then I thought, man, I just need to get rid of all of this. If I got rid of all of it, I would have this trouble. But I didn't change a bit. I run from it. I run from it, and then I'll come to church, and it'll be somebody here. Oh, God. That's what they told me. Get out of the hustle and bustle of this world and just be in the ministry. And I thought, the world's easier than the ministry. You know? That's me to get more trouble, God, more ministry. Oh, yes, use me, God. Fill the house. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, God, send them, Lord. Do signs, wonders, and miracles, God. And pray, God. And then they walk in and they're like, we know what you need to do here. Yeah. I'm like, where have y'all been? Look, God, we started with $300 and you know how to do it and we don't. You know, well, there come. There come. And I'm like, I ought to go get my gun, get me some bird shot. and ought to sprinkle that Christian. Sprinkle them on their way out. Boom. Don't ever come back. It's like some of them that bothered them. I said, you know what? Complaining about a speeding ticket you got. I ought to start giving you, the first is a warning when you don't come to church, and I know you can. Then the next time's going to be a $50 to $75 ticket for not coming to church when I know you're breaking the law. Now, I was just being funny with that, but if I treat it like that, well, that's $150 this week. Well, where you going Sunday? Church, man. Cost me $150 last week. Black God, it sure wasn't worth it either. I'm telling you right now, I felt guilty. I felt good till church was over, and then I started feeling guilty. And I go try to pray, and I just don't feel good like I used to. Oh, he's on church, ain't he? He's big about church. He paid a big price for the body. He paid a big price for your freedom and my freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from stress and oppression. Freedom from sickness and disease. Freedom from being bound by the enemy. Freedom from being bound by our flesh. Bound by our flesh. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you, stop complaining about school. That's why you're staying dumb. You're supposed to go to school to get smart. Right? The government wants you to be able to fire a gun. And school's part of it. They send you to college because they need you out there entrepreneuring. Right? That's where you get grants from. They want you to be the master technician. You know, there's grants for all of that. They want you, and you just, you know, it's not a free ride. School's a privilege. I never took advantage of it. And just by God's grace, I'm smarter than, you know, the enemy because of the Word. But going to school's a privilege. I walked into the Parks house up there. His name is Coach McHann. And I wanted to call him Coach McHard. By golly, when he whipped you, he brought you off the ground. I mean, sucker had I think it was solid oak. And it was that thick. And he cut holes, drill holes in that sucker. That's torture there now, holes in it. Just leave it solid, you know. And so I walked in there and I said, "How's it going, Mr. McHann?" "Oh, how's it going, son?" I said, "It's going good." I said, "I still remember that paddling you gave me." He looked down there at me and he said, "Oh, you one of them?" And I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Let me ask you now." This has been a long time, just 40 years, something like that. He said, "Did you deserve it?" I said, "Well, I'm sure I did." I said, "You didn't catch me on everything I done." I said, "So, you know, it wasn't too bad for all that I was doing." I said, "So you did good." I said, "If you'd have whooped me four more times for that day there," I said, "it would probably been you'd have been justified." I said, "But yeah, you did me good. I said, "But you was one hard hitter." "I was." I started to say, "Yeah, you wouldn't know. You ain't never had a whipping all your life, probably." Praise the Lord. But you know what? See, all of that, I walked in there honoring him. Thank you for whipping me. Thank you, Lord, for whipping me. Thank you, Lord, for letting me not stay ignorant. I'm ignorant of some things. Ignorant don't mean you're dumb. Ignorant means there's more I can find out. There's more that I can know that'll carry me higher, carry me up on into things of God. But you know what? Stop complaining. If it's any of you here in this church, stop complaining. Don't complain. Make up your mind. I'm never going to complain again about nothing. I know it's a mouthful, but it's doable. I try my best not to ever complain. If I mess up, I say, "Woo, glory to God. I plead the blood of Jesus." That stupid word. I cover that in the blood right now. I don't want that bringing me a harvest. I don't want that bringing nothing spiritually to me. I'm doing good right now, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So stop complaining. Honor your father and mother. Honor them. And God's going to honor you. He's going to honor you. He's bringing things to set you free. Let's bow our heads. Father,